In the cacophony of voices in the recording you just heard is that of Carmel Gott, a hostage in Gaza since October 7th, singing the classic Passover song at the family Seder last year, Vehi She'amda. The song reminds us that in every generation, an enemy rises and tries to destroy the Jewish people, and God saves us. Carmel's family, like so many Jewish families, is not religious in the traditional sense, but we all follow the traditions that have been honored for thousands of years. That, in and of itself, is so powerful. The cruel irony for Carmel's family and anyone in the world who is touched by the savagery of October 7th is that she languishes in Hamas captivity, a literal reminder of the Seder lament. I have spoken and met with Carmel's cousin, Shai Dickman, on several occasions in the last month or so. Most recently, we had a Zoom chat on the day after the Passover Seder. I could not bear to imagine how the families would mark the Seder this year. It is always a very festive holiday, but not this year. Shai is a medical student at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem and very close with her cousin Carmel. She is also, along with many extended family members, a tireless advocate for Carmel. Later this week, we will publish a podcast where we get into the detail of Carmel's capture and the family's harrowing ordeal since October 7th. Carmel and Shai are part of an extended kibbutz Be'eri family. I have learned since October 7th what a strong and magnificent community this was, and we all hope that it will be again. On the final day of the week-long hostage release period in November, Carmel was expected to come out. But then Hamas said, no more. No hostages have been released since that time. I speak with Shai in today's podcast about the Kibbutz Be'eri Seder, held this year in Hostage Square in Tel Aviv, and the absence of Carmel. This is the story of one of 133 hostage families, as they are called now, and how they managed. I'm Vivian Berkovich, former Canadian ambassador to Israel, and now living in the beautiful, but subdued, state of Tel Aviv. Stay with us. Good morning, Shai. It's the morning after the Passover Seder in Israel, Tuesday morning, and it's so gracious of you to take the time out today to speak with us about your family's experience, your personal experience at the Passover Seder last night without your cousin, Carmel Gott. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Vivian.
So I want you to tell us, what did you do last night as a family? How did you mark, because we didn't celebrate last night.
Right.
How did you mark Passover, the holiday of freedom?
Yes, Vivian, just like you said, Passover is supposed to be a celebration of freedom. And for me, for us, there couldn't be freedom without the freedom of 133 people who are still held hostage today, 200 days and nights in Hamas captivity. And Carmeli, my cousin, is one of them. As a family, we used to celebrate Passover first in the kibbutz, Kibbutz Be'eri. It's the place where Carmel was growing up and the place where she was kidnapped from on October 7th. After the corona, we started celebrating at Carmel's parents' house in Kibbutz Be'eri. Kinneret used to cook for us most of the food, but also the rest of the family would make the rest. And we would have this huge chet-shaped tables in the house, occupying the whole living room with foods, and used to sing and to update with each other since the last holiday when we met as a family.
It's how many people more or less are in this extended family grouping?
Oh, I guess around 20. So.
Okay. And so just for our listeners who aren't familiar with the Hebrew alphabet, a chet is a letter in the alphabet that's more or less horseshoe-shaped with
sharp angles. So it's a nice big open table where everybody can see everybody and talk to everybody. Okay, exactly. So that was, I assume, what it was like last year for your extended family.
Right.
Continue to tell us about last night.
Last night, we gathered at the Hostages Square. It's the place we've been protesting and hoping and willing and sometimes crying and sometimes shouting for the last 6 months for the return of the hostages. And yesterday, the Seder of Kibbutz Be'eri was held there. Kibbutz Be'eri is a community of, used to be 1,000 people. Today, it's 900 people. 100 people were murdered on October 7th from Kibbutz Be'eri, and around 30 were kidnapped. And 11 are still held hostage. Among them, 5 people are still alive: Eli, Oad, Dror, Tal, and Carmel. And the community of Be'eri is trying to rehabilitate and to come from this crisis stronger. And it's hard because they're missing so many dear people. And one of them is Carmeli, my cousin. So we were not celebrating, but we were having this seder together, mentioning them, not sinking into depression and not flying above it, having no connection to it. No, it's part of us now. And the Hostages Square was the right place for me, as I felt it in my heart, to be at this day when we are missing freedom. We are calling for it, the freedom of our people.
Do you have any idea how many members of the extended Be'eri family attended this Seder?
500.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. And were you inside a tent or were you in the open? You were. I know there are a number of different Seders going on. Different kibbutzim hosted their own Seders. There was a general community Seder. And I thought, no, it's their place, it's their space, it's their time. And I went to celebrate, to be with your dear friends who are like family for me. And we did spend significant time talking about the hostages, talking about the state of Israel in these days, the importance of history, the importance of really remembering and actualizing and understanding history, not as a factual thing, but something real that's happening now. And I think that the way in which everything just seems to be going so quickly and accelerated is just too much for people to process. So to hear that Be'eri, in the midst of this madness, is really working to find a way to come together is extraordinary.
And I agree with you. It is so much that it is hard to process. And so in the Seder of Kibbutz Be'eri, they did a great job showing, I think, as human beings, symbolizing is our way of processing things that are beyond us sometimes. And so they showed in the Seder both the people that used to be performing on the Seder, singing songs and reading parts of the community Seder, and some of them were murdered. And so they showed on screens their performance from last year's in the Seder Ochel of the kibbutz, the dining room, where we used to have the Seder in better days. And they also mentioned all of the hostages and also the content of the Haggadah, what we tell over the table, is it has a lot to do with what we're going through now, going out of Egypt, having ourselves freed. There is this song. It's a song that says that every generation, another enemy is trying to kill us as Jews, as Bnei Israel used to be. And how in the song, it's God that saves us. And I have the respect for any beliefs, but myself, I'm a secular person. And this time I feel we must save ourselves. I cannot wait, not for God, not for the 120 people in our Knesset, and not the 38 in the Mamshala, the government of Israel. We need to do what we can to save ourselves. We need to act. We need to be active. We need to raise awareness. We need to explain to the world what we've been through and who we are dealing with when we're dealing with the Hamas, which is a terror organization that had been raping the women and murdering so many people and acting violently ever since. Every single day, the right for freedom is taken from Carmel and from 133 people by this organization. And I have another thing that I'm thinking about these last days. It is my grandmother. She's a Holocaust survivor. And she was 10 years old back then, together with her younger sister. Both her parents were killed. And she was doing her best to survive. She was brave. She was lucky. And she also had the help of good people with nice hearts, big hearts, that adopted her, that helped her, that did what they can. They went out of their borders in order to help her. And this is how she managed and she survived. And I think that today we need the same thing from people around the world. We need their help. We need their help to get a deal. We need their help to save lives. Right now, I'm afraid that Hamas is not going to take a deal, at least not soon. And the life of Carmel and 132 people is dependent on this deal, and every day risks their lives. I'm scared, and I can see that in the negotiation, the suggestion that the mediators gave, Israel agreed to it, but Hamas refused for a few times. And I'm afraid that what's going to happen now is that Israel is going to try and push Hamas into a deal through army, and it risks lives. I understand the ambition to protect the Israeli people and to avoid another October 7th from happening. But I'm afraid for the life of people in both sides of the border and for the life of the hostages. And we need the help of the world to get a deal before the war escalates and more lives are taken.
Shai, if I could give you a stage for a day and you could speak to the world and say, here's what we need you to do, something concrete. I agree with everything you're saying, and I think we feel similarly about the imperative of just saving these people already. But what would you say to the world? How are we going to get them out?
From civilians like myself, I would ask to raise awareness, to share the stories of these people, of 133 people. Each and every one of them is the whole world to us. Children, a baby, women, elderly, men. They are all people whom we are missing, who still have ambitions and things to do in their lives. Carmel has so many plans. So first, raise awareness to their stories. Second, condemn Hamas. Say out loud, it's a terror organization that had been torturing and raping, and they kidnapped and murdered, and they still are doing these things for 200 days already. So help us condemn them and say that they are a terror organization in order for suffocating them economically and pushing them into a deal in a way that is not taking lives in either side of the border. And three, affecting your governments. They have the power. They have their economical power and diplomatic power. And some of the countries of the world are being our mediators, like the United States. And we need now the help of the world in order to get a deal and in order to have peace between us. The only way to do it is to bring the hostages back home. And in the end, to stop the war, knowing that the facilities of terror do not exist anymore. And a terror organization does not rule the people in Gaza.
Have you received any information specifically about Carmel since the last hostages came out? I believe it was late November.
Late November was the last time I got information about Carmel from the hostages that came back. But it was such a hopeful signal of life that I'm able to hold on to it. I know that Carmel is holding on to hope. I know that she's doing whatever in her power to keep herself safe, to keep other people around her safe and mentally healthy, because sadly, I also know that other hostages did not succeed to save themselves mentally. It is such a hard feeling that your freedom is taken away from you, that you cannot decide for yourself for anything, and that you're being in a risk of your life every single second, knowing that your life depends on the people that kidnapped you and that are holding you for 6 months. And we know that some people in captivity lost their mind before they lost their lives. But I have the belief in Carmel that even though she's being through psychological terror there, that she's holding on to the hope and to the belief and to the trust in us, both in her family, I hope that still in her country, and in humanity. Carmel is such, she's like a humanitarian person. She knows people from all over the world. She doesn't care about race or gender or nationality. She has friends from everywhere and she accepts every single person. And I hope she can see beyond what's going on to her for so long, and that she manages, and she will manage until we're able to rescue her and bring her back home.
Thank you again so much, Shai, for agreeing to talk to us in really a very difficult time and on, I know, a very difficult day.
Thank you, Rivian.
I want to leave you with these very poignant thoughts of Shai's, who, when we spoke on the day after the Seder, seemed somewhat deflated, and understandably so. That more than 6 months have passed since October 7th is devastating. That the families feel so helpless is devastating. Listen to Shai and do everything that you can to help and support the effort to release the hostages now. Just imagine for a moment that it was your loved one.
When I'm starting to feel desperate, I have this thought. I was brought up upon the stories of the Holocaust. And I remember thinking when I was hearing the stories of Holocaust survivors, what would I do? What would I do if I would have been a witness to such situation? And I remember myself being hopeful that I will be that person that looks in the eyes, that doesn't turn their back, that saves another person, even in a risk of my life. And I know that these moments right now are going to be moments that we tell our kids, that we tell their grandchildren. And I'm trying to think, what would I like to tell my future son? What would I like history to be? And whom would I want to be as a part of it? And every time I answer myself, I would like to be the person that acts, that stands for the people that need me. And this is what I do. And it also gives me the hope.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the State of Tel Aviv and Beyond podcast. We'll keep the dispatches coming as frequently as we can. If you like what you're hearing, please take a moment, rate us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you're listening. You can check out our full library of articles and podcasts at our website, stateoftelaviv.com. State of Tel Aviv is an independent media venture, and we rely on subscribers to support our work. If you are not yet a paying subscriber, please consider taking the plunge today. Each person really does make a huge difference, especially in these very challenging times in Israel. It is important that you stay informed and current and seek out a range of perspectives. This is a pivotal moment in Israeli history. It is not a time to be passive and disengaged. Thanks for sticking with me to the end. I'm Vivian Berkovich, signing off from deep inside the State of Tel Aviv.